Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Diego Alfonso, airline transport pilot, designated pilot examiner, with over 13,000 hours of dual given from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. My name is Diego Alfonso, and I'm the host of the Florida Aviation Network, broadcasting live and in the clear from the Howard Hughes exhibit in the Florida Air Museum at Sun and Fun. If you just tuned in, keep in mind that 2013 marks the 39th consecutive year of this air show, expo, and fly-in all roll into one. And also that this is the second largest show of its kind in the world. And it is all taking place in Sony Lakeland in Florida. And as you probably guessed, being the host of a show, my job is to interview aviation personalities and aviation enthusiasts. My next guest is Philip Hurst, and he's with the Air and Space Television. And he has some very, very important information for us, the aviation community, about what they do. Philip, it's a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Diego.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
I haven't seen you in quite some time, and I saw you from a distance and didn't recognize you. So when we
right.
got
there,
I could see you. Here's the thing. What can you tell us about Air and Space Television?
Well, Diego, I can tell you that, as you mentioned, this is the 39th year of Sun and Fun, and every year they get hundreds of thousands of people here. Those people come from all over because they love watching things that fly. They love the people, they love the atmosphere, and what we want to do is we want to give them all of that on a TV channel where they can go home and enjoy these fabulous stories about aviation and space.
Okay, and so how does that work? Kind of a break it down a little bit for me here.
Sure. Well, it's a long process, as you can imagine.
Right.
I've been involved with one other network startup before, the Golf Channel, and we went through the similar process. It takes several years. First, you have to make sure that there's an audience out there. Well,
right.
I can tell you more people go to air shows than NFL football games. Air and Space Museum in Washington is the most visited museum in the country. So there's something to be said for that. So we know there's an audience out there. You have to find out that there's plenty of programming. Well, we know with all of the years of movies and television shows and books and everything that have been written, it's practically an unlimited amount of stories about these fields. And then you have to do the hard work of putting pencil to paper and really sketching it out and figuring how you're going to get distribution. Are you going to get advertisers? And I won't bore you with all the details about
right.
the television business, but it's a several-step process.
So basically, I guess, let's see if I got this straight, you can actually broadcast from Sun and Fun, basically what you're doing, or bringing aviation to the television, to the home.
That's exactly right. And we would broadcast from Sun and Fun or Oshkosh or any number of big air shows. Anywhere there's anything going on, whether it's an air show or even launches, when we have SpaceX launches or events like the Red Bull Stratus. I mean, these are all things that would be covered on this network.
Cool.
So, you know, we would turn that into anything from a special series to competition reality shows to even a nightly news program.
And if I may, I want to take you back. What was the spark that said, this is what, how did that come about?
Well, obviously, as I mentioned, I was with the Golf Channel. I was actually the first employee of that network. I went to work for the founder, and when he said, hey, I've got an idea for a company. You want to come work for me? And I thought, well, okay, that sounds kind of interesting. And long story short, that was a phenomenal success. As far as TV networks go. Now it's in over 130 million homes. But along the way, I started flying. And just to back up a little bit further, when I was a boy, my family lived in Washington, D.C. And I used to go to the Smithsonian Air and Space every weekend, and I was just enthralled and fascinated as a boy with all of the hardware and the people and everything. And so I began looking at this one network, the Golf Network, and then I began thinking about all of the passionate people and all of these aviation stories and all of that. And I thought, why don't we do this? And that's when I set off on making it.
That's great. Now, I want to take you a little bit further back, and I want you to relate to us the other spark. What is the spark that said, I want to be a pilot, and what happens there?
Well, as I mentioned, when I went to the museum as a kid, it really became a part of me. And it wasn't until I took a ride with my uncle when I was in my teens in his 172 that I really thought, wow, I can actually do this. So a little bit later down the road, I actually did put the money into flight training and actually did something about that passion that I had and then decided, you know what, I want to do this. So there's got to be a bunch of other people that want to do this. So that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah, it's funny because Ravi was our previous guest, and we were talking about just that, you know, how to not only get people into the aviation community, but, you know, to keep them there.
Sure.
And and all the stories relate somehow to my story. I always wanted to be a pilot, never had the time or the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I had the time, I didn't have the money. If I had the money, I didn't have the, you know how that goes.
Right, sure. Yeah.
But the bug is so big, I mean, that you just keep doing it. And then the thing is that when you get into aviation, like I was telling Ravi, aviation is like omnidirectional.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of it. So, because you go into aviation, but from that point, there's a whole slew of other things that you can do from that, starting from that point.
Right. Like, sure. Like start a television network.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
And started by being a pilot. And,
sure.
And it's just an amazing thing. So what are the immediate plans? What does the future, the immediate future holds for air and space television?
Sure. Well, we've got several phases that we need to go through. We've gone through the first phase where we know that we have a business here. Now we have to actually start building out the channel, and that starts with acquiring some of these programs and getting the internet site going and that sort of thing. And then we plan to go out and actually acquire a big network, which is what happens these days. You may have read about, for instance, Current TV was just bought, and there's been some other networks that are bought out.
Right.
And rebranded, much as if as radio stations change formats. So that's really the next step. But I want to go back to something you just said, which is talking about bringing people into the aviation community and retaining them. And that's something that's really important to me and something I believe that this channel can do like it's never been done before. Because when you start talking about 8,000 hours a year of programming and being in 50 million homes, you've got such a potential to tell these motivational stories and to really build a culture around aviation. And, you know, we saw it happen with golf. We're seeing it happen with the cooking channel. We see it happen with all of these different networks, and it only makes sense that it now start to happen with space and aviation.
Well, one of the things that I told this to a couple of our guests, because I guess that's the general desire of everybody, is to not only promote but to keep aviation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I told them is that, unfortunately, aviation gets negative propaganda
for free. Bad publicity.
Bad publicity.
Sure.
Every time an airplane crashes, it doesn't matter where in the world.
Yep.
Unfortunately, 4, 5, 10, 20 people die.
Yep.
That's world news, and we're sitting here, and then we're going to know about the New Guinea, an airplane.
Right.
You see what I mean?
We would tell the other side of that story. You know, we would tell, for instance, on the news show, we want to talk about a crash, or we may, but we'll talk about how many safe landings there were that day.
Exactly.
Because I guarantee you, there were a lot more than there were anything
else. We have to go into damage control.
That's right.
Because, and I think it's dearly needed at this stage of the game, because in one of my seminars, I talk about this, and of course about safety, and why, when I address the instructors and students, why it's so important for to avoid an accident or an incident. Because mm-hmm. every time there's an accident or an incident, that's an opportunity
yep.
for negative press to be out there, negative publicity that's going to hurt everybody.
Right.
It's going to hurt the
right.
school. It's going to hurt the students. It's going to hurt the CFI. It's going to hurt everybody involved. Actually, I equate that with this, and I tell them, and this is from research now, if the media will make known or publicize all the people that slip and die in their bathtub.
Right.
You will be taking a bath in the backyard with a hose.
right.
You will not go near a bathtub because it's constant. You know, it's everything there. But yet, mm-hmm. I think there's about 260, 280 people a year die in their bathtub.
Is that so?
Slip and break their necks, so to speak.
Yep.
So,
well, it is an opportunity to tell the other side of the story, too, to talk about the safety and all of the good things that are involved with it.
Exactly. And then people out there that would like, and I, this is grounds for another discussion, you know, but it has to do with the mentality. It has to mm-hmm. do with the mentality of, do I have what it takes to be a pilot?
Right.
That is a question that shouldn't be answered because that's a question that shouldn't be asked because the reality of that is that there's only one thing you need to be a pilot, and that is to have a burning desire to
mm-hmm.
be one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the ingredient, the basic. If you can hold a medical, I mean, if you don't have any mental issues or physical issues that will prevent you from flying an aircraft, that's a different story. But
sure,
if you're not
sure.
in that category, anybody can fly an airplane.
And we can tell that story.
Exactly.
We can let people know that.
And make them believe that.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, from the very beginning, the non-flyers associate the flyers with a special group of people.
But like, that's not necessarily the case,
is not.
It?
It is not. I know that. I know that very good. I'm not special.
That's right.
I just wanted to fly since I was yay high.
Sure.
And probably the same thing here.
Same thing. And I think that there's millions of other people out there that do. They just don't know how to take that first step.
Exactly.
And we can show them. You know, we can give them messages where it's Learn to Fly or the Young Eagles program. All of those we can roll up into one and be a 24/7 beacon for aviation and learning how to fly.
Of positive publicity or something that we'll have to convince those people that they can step up to the plate. And if that's what you want to do, take flight lessons. Go ahead and do it because you can do it.
Sure.
I mean, it's just that simple. Yep. I think we have come to that point in our interview.
Already?
Time goes fast,
does,
right, when we're having
sure
fun.
It sure does. It sure does.
And Philip, I really, really want to thank you for spending this time here with us and the good information that you have brought to us. And I wish you a lot of success. And just keep him safe. And let's keep letting them know that they can become pilots.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Diego.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.